Turn with me to the ninth Psalm. Psalm 9. And reading for our text the last part of verse 12. Psalm 9, the last part of verse 12. He forgetteth not the cry of the heart. The ninth Psalm, the last part of verse 12. He forgetteth not the cry of the heart. This morning I spoke to you that we will all one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I tried to set before you that truth, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That the wages of sin is death. And after death, the judgment. That we must all face that judgment. And that at that day there will be two judgments given. Either to come in, how blessed of my Father, or to depart ye cursed. I said there is a way to come. There is a way of salvation. To those who do not know the Lord, there is a way whereby we can be saved. And that way is found in the blood of Christ. That way is found in the sufferings, the death of Christ. The fact that the Son of God left those bright realms of bliss, left the courts of heaven, left the praise of angels. He became a man. He became despised and rejected of men. He became the poorest of men. He became the offscouring of the earth. And he suffered and he died at the hands of men, at the hands of his own creation. All that his people might receive a free salvation. Not for anything of himself. Not for any reason that we could conceive. But that his people, who were chosen, who were loved because he would love, not because they were lovable, that they might have that full salvation. But there is a way to come. There is a way to come to the Lord and to seek him rightly. We have that set before us in our text, that he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. When we come to the Lord, must come in humility. And to come humble means to forsake all that we think we have. When I looked up the word humble in the original, that same Greek word is translated in several different ways in the Word of God. Sometimes it is poor, sometimes weak, sometimes afflicted. And considering those things, I thought, really? They preach the sermon themselves. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. And then to be humble is to be poor. And what is it to be poor? Is to have nothing. Is to come with nothing. The top lady said that, didn't he, in his hymn book of ages? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to what I cross over. Sometimes we get confused. We think we've got to bring the Lord something. We think we've got to work out our own righteousness somehow. Perhaps we'll go to the Lord. We think the Lord can save us. We want to add a little. Lord, I haven't repented enough. I haven't loved enough. I don't know my sin enough. The Lord says, come forward. He does not say, you need to repent to a certain degree before you can come. He does not say you need to feel in the depths of despair of your sin before you can come. He does not say you need to have any of these various experiences that lots of people do have. The Lord says, come just as thou art, with thy word. Fall down at the feet of the Lamb. He will not, he cannot say go, but surely will take out thy stone. Why? The fountain is open for sin. And thousands its virtues have proved. He'll take it. Don't take yourself. He'll take thee and plant thee therein and wash thee from filth in his blood. It's easy, isn't it, to look to the Lord, to look to a holy God, and to think, how can a holy God accept me? How can a holy God look on a sinner like me and save me? I need to be better. I need to improve myself. I need to turn from this sin and from that sin. The Lord does command us to repent. As the hymn says, if you tarry till you're better, you will never come to me. Not the righteous. Sinners Jesus came to call. Come, Paul. Bring nothing. But bring your sin. That's all that you've got. I tried to speak this morning on that commandment that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now tell me if you could do that for yourself. I certainly didn't have any capacity to. Therefore, if you seek to bring the Lord any good works, any repentance, you're not bringing him what is good in his sight. The Lord says, come with me. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And with no additives. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and its purity, by itself, needs nothing added to it. The blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And he says, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. All that plead the blood of Christ. All that come, and the blood is their only plea. Nothing in themselves. He will in no wise cast out. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Not only poor, but it means weak as well. publican is weak, isn't he? And Jesus told the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. You see, in the Pharisee, a man who was not yet brought to the end of himself. He had some strength left in him. And he went to the temple and he stood. And he prayed thus with himself, saying, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, or even as this public. Is that where any of you are this afternoon? Perhaps you have a form of prayer, but you have not truly been humbled before the Lord. You have not truly fallen in the dust at his feet and seen yourself as he sees you in measure. You have something to offer. You say, Lord, I thank thee. I'm not as these other men are. I'm a strict Baptist. I go to chapel. I don't do all these outward sins. I read the Bible. I have a godly family. And you present something to the Lord. And you go in your strength. James tells us that the God resisteth the proud. The proud are those that stand in their own strength. Those that think they have something to offer. God resisteth the proud. And he giveth grace unto the humble. He giveth more grace. And to those who will come weak and poor, to those who will come bringing nothing in their hands, and who will fall before him and promise they have nothing further good to bring. It's no good coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, I'll try and be good in the future. I'll try and do this better. That won't work. You might try for a long time and you'll find time and again that you fail. We are utterly, as fallen creatures, incapable of doing what's right in his sight unless he helps us. Come poor. Come weak. Come afflicted. Needy. Loves it when a sinner comes to him that is in real need, truly afflicted. It might be your sin. It might be that you're a sinner and you feel it. You know it. The Lord has shown you, He's made you to feel that you're a sinner. I quoted just now, come just as thou art. Come with a need. Those who come with their sin, with their words, with a need of salvation, they're the ones that Christ will save. They're the ones that he'll have mercy upon. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble, the afflicted. But not that this applies only to the greatest match to of salvation, but afflicted in any way. Illness, trials, temptations. Perhaps you're tempted by sin. Perhaps Satan is at your heels, trying to get you to do something you know you shouldn't. The Lord says, come afflicted. Forget if not, cry out for help. You can come to the Lord as he enables. And you can come low at his feet. Repentant of all that you have done. Bring nothing in your hand. Bring nothing that you can bring in the future. Promising nothing. Feeling that you are a sinner. And nothing but. So he will not forget your cry. He hears the cry for need. He hears the cry for hunger. He hears the cry of the poor, the afflicted, the weak. Those who are nothing in themselves. It's interesting language, he forgetteth not. Sometimes perhaps there might be one here who's been seeking the Lord for a long time. And you feel exactly the opposite. The Lord forgets you. You come in with Fanny Crosby, pass me not, O gentle saint. When on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And yet perhaps time and again, it seems to you that the Lord passes you by. It seems to you that the Lord has forgotten you. You see of others, you hear of others. And the Lord has called on them. The Lord has shown them himself. The Lord has blessed them. And you're still where you are. You're still feeling sin. You still have no assurance of your salvation. You still cannot feel to say that he died for you. The Lord says, he forgetteth not the cry of the hunger. Couldn't be plainer than that. He forgetteth not. There's no ambiguity about this text. If you come to him humbly seeking, he forgetteth not. I recommend to you to, when you go home this evening, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Jesus said, they are they that testify of me. But see how many promises there are made to the humble. How often the Lord builds up the humble, encourages them to pray on. To this man will I look, so far. Even to him that is humble, to him that is poor and weak and of contrite in spirit. The new verse comes in Isaiah 66. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. The Lord will look to such a man, one that is poor, one that does not claim to have any goodness, but trembleth at the word of God. Do you tremble at the word of God this morning? Do you tremble at the knowledge that there is a judgment day? Says to this man, my Lord, to him that is born of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. He trembleth not as the devils tremble. They know the Lord, they believe in God, they tremble because they know there's no hope for them. But one that trembles to God, you tremble, and it drives you to God, it does not drive you away. You see, this is the difference. The devils believe in tremble. And their trembling only ever encourages them to hate them more and more. They know there's no hope for them. They know that all they have is to wait for help. Not so us. While we're alive, it is the day of grace. While we're alive, the mercy seat is open. The door of grace is open. While we're alive, we're able to pray. And the Lord says so. And the Lord says, He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. David spoke it, didn't he, in Psalm 51. He was in a low place. I should have read that top bit, but you know when he wrote Psalm 51? This is when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba, after he had sinned in adultery, and then murdered her wife, her husband. Sometimes the Lord's people are permitted to go that way. It says right at the end there, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. For thou desirest not sacrifice. The Lord does not desire the outward works of the Lord. In David's day, the Lord commanded sacrifice. He commanded his people Israel to go to the temple and to offer those burnt offerings, to offer those sin offerings, those meat offerings. It was a token, a shadow of time to come, when Christ would once enter into that holy place with his own blood and offer his own sacrifice. But you see, in David's time, they were commanded to do these things. They were commanded to sacrifice, to offer these burnt offerings. And yet David here says, thou desirest it not. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. My friends, we mistake. We have the ordinances of the Lord's house. We have the Lord's house. We have the preaching of the word. And perhaps we go to chapel every week. We sit under the ministry. We read his word. And we think we're doing all right. We give the sacrifice of our time. The Lord says, thou desire, sorry, David says, thou desirest not sacrifice. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. All the things that we do for the Lord are of nothing, of no avail. They do not help at all. Unless we come humbly before. These are the things that the Lord looks for. This is the man that the Lord will look to. The man who has a contrite spirit. The man who is broken. The man who has nothing. No strength. No goodness. And a broken and a contrite heart, O God. Will not despise. The bruised reed he never breaks. He raises it to a flame. No, sorry, it's a smoking fat. But the truth is, if you come humbly before the Lord, if you come broken before the Lord, if you come naked and wounded before the Lord, the Lord, he says, doesn't he, naked, come to thee for dress? Wounded, helpless, look to thee for grace. Forget a thought, God. You see, the humble. It'll be written in the palm of his hands. They've engraved on his heart. Lord Jesus suffered. He bled, he died for you. He gave everything he had that he might save a people. And do you think he'll leave one out? Do you think he could forget one? After he has paid the greatest price known to man. Do you think he could forget you? He forgetteth not God the humble. Because he has loved him with an everlasting love. With loving kindness he has drawn. You see, the only reason the humble cry is because the Lord has made them cry. We cannot cry unless he makes us. We cannot come unless he makes us. And he will not make you cry. He will not give you that burden. He will not give you that affliction. He will not empty you. He fills them as he empties. He goes so low as to put this treasure in earthen vessels. And you'll find if the Lord fills you with treasure, you will go on. Because we're sinful earthen vessels, you will fall and will smash. And that treasure, as it seems to us, will be gone. But it's the Lord that keeps it in us. And the Lord picks us back up. And as we come to him again humble, again with nothing, again empty, again poor, again weak, he fills us again. He forgetteth not the cry for help. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto Christ. There's no other refuge for sin. There's no other way of escape. There's no other way out of the judgment we spoke about. Come humble. Come poor. Leave all of your goodness. Everything that you think you have. Perhaps everything you want to have. Tarry to your best, you will never be a child. Perhaps you think, oh, don't feel my sin. Perhaps you see those verses that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And it's true, and you think, well, am I a sinner? Do I feel to be a sinner? Can I pray to him as a sinner? It's true that some of the Lord's people do have those deep experiences. They do have to fall deeply before him. Cry unto him. As the hymn says, all the fitness he requires is to feel your need. To come afflicted. But don't misunderstand afflicted. Don't feel that you have to come completely cast down. But it's to come with need. Do you need the Saviour? Do you realise that there is an eternity to come? Do you realise that you are lost? Do you realise that you are unable to save yourself? Come. The Lord says that's all you need to come with. All the fitness he requires to feel your need of him. And further than that, this he gives you. Because the Spirit's rising up here. If you fail to need him, it's not of yourself. The Spirit gives it. And Paul says in his epistle to the Philippians that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will not forget. And then we have that, the type of the children of Israel in those 40 years in the wilderness. Moses said right at the beginning, thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. And the Lord promised, my presence shall go with them, and I will give them rest. And those Israelites went through the wilderness for that 40 years. And time again, they rebelled against him. They sinned. They worshipped other gods. They complained and murmured. And time again, the Lord chased them. He sent those fiery serpents or some other thing. He brought them low. And yet when they were humble, he did not forget them. They were his people. He could not forget them. And when they came to him, nothing in themselves. That's when he answered their call. That's when he set them back on that right way. That's when he blessed them again with his presence. Run to Christ. Run to him. We spoke this morning of the urgency of it. The urgency of eternity. That we do not know when it may come. But run humbly. Fall down in the dust before him. Bring nothing of yourself. Do not bring any words. Do not bring any of your own made up repentance. I'm trying to say don't repent. Don't rest on your repentance. He will not forget. In another place that he will ask them to speak. It's the parable of the unjust judge, isn't it? The unjust judge, a widow came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary, and he would not for a time. And afterward he said that because this woman would come in trouble for me, he said, I'll avenge her, I'll do for her as she wants. The Lord says, will the Lord not avenge his own enemies, but cry unto him day and night? Yea, I say unto you, he will avenge them speedily. But he'll be along with them. Speedily doesn't necessarily mean he'll deal with you immediately. He'll avenge you immediately. But it means that when it is his time, he will come. And that time of love will come. And you shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. You forget if not the cry of the heart, you cry on. Cry on. He regardeth the prayer of the destitute. May the Lord answer your prayers. May the Lord grant many. Be raised up in this place, knowing the Lord their Saviour. Many who can say, the Lord is my Saviour. The Lord has his own blessing.